vulnerable in some ways, and yet it's just God's word. Like it always comes back to God's word that like realigns me, you know, that repositions me so that I could think clearly again, you know. And so that's just always our emphasis as the people of God, as the church, to have this clear passion to hold so tightly to the word of God as our standard, you know, as our lamp, as our light. So let's pray. Father, we are indebted and grateful and beyond words to express our gratitude to you that we, the unworthy ones, Lord, you have found us worthy. From one nail-scarred hand to the other, Lord, we just marvel at your divine love. God, that even when we rejected you and still yet you pursued us and were patient, drawing each of us back to you, Lord, to whatever extent our story, to whatever extent our fall, Lord, nonetheless, we all know that this is something very beautiful that has happened, Lord, that you have invited us into. And so we say thank you. So Holy Spirit, have your way. We thank you for speaking your word to us through the songs. And I trust, Lord, that you will continue to speak through this message. Give us ears to hear what you have for us this morning, Lord. And may we respond with hearts willing to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we looked more specifically at what it means to practice the truth, to apply it to our lives. And for a starting point, we looked at Colossians 1, verse 12 to 14, which clearly describes our new position in Christ. So it starts speaking into our identity, the new reality of what it means to be in Christ, that we've been qualified and approved by his grace, delivered and rescued from the domain of darkness, and transferred and relocated into his kingdom. This is what God has done for us. And this passage is the true reality for every one of us in Christ. This is true reality. This is not some knowledge we know about that we just kind of maybe read once or twice in church service or in a Sunday school or maybe heard on the radio in a song. Like, it's true reality. This is true reality for the people of God. And that's what God wants us to discover more and more so that we don't be, so that we're not as vulnerable to feeling like we're one step away, like in that song, right? You know, like once feel like we're one step away from him just saying, you know, like, I can't keep forgiving you. But he does. Hallelujah. But he does. Right? God is faithful, even when we are faithless. It says he cannot deny himself. It's his very nature. It's like he has to be, because he is faithful. And we are forever grateful for him in that sense. But yet how it grieves our heart when we do fall short, when we do know that deep down that we miss his heart and we hurt him. You know, so he's after all of us. So we have to know that there's these true realities, right? There's a real deliverance from darkness. There's a real transfer into his kingdom light. And there's a real power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Jesus came, right, to set the captives free. This is one of his purposes for which he came and which he suffered. And we have to know that God's word never dangles something in front of us that's not attainable. That's as if it's not possible. He never teases us like that. You know, everything he said is true and trustworthy. And Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible with God. Matthew 19:26. Everything he says is reliable. Everything he says is beneficial, profitable, to our advantage, to our overall well-being and maturity in Christ. This is the purpose of his word. So the question is, do I believe and trust fully in his word? Do I take it to heart? Do I see his word as his word, his very word to me, and personalize it that way? Have you experienced his deliverance, his transfer, his power? Are you living in this new reality of your new identity as sons and daughters of light? This is our calling. This is our calling to which we've been called. He says to walk worthy of it, to walk worthy of it. It was a passage we read last week. So as we do our part by putting his word into practice, we can be sure that His Spirit will continue to complete the work He began. Praise the Lord, right? Like, it's a work He continues, right? It's not just one shot and you miss it. No, because we already established He's a faithful God who cannot deny Himself. He's passionately in love with every one of us. He's not going to want to let us go no matter what the cost. So He works with us, you know? He's patient with us. And this is His promise. He's faithful to complete the work He began. He does it by His Spirit, right? Things we've spoken out, things we know. And as you know, this is a big part of my story. It includes bearing witness to this reality of the sanctifying work of Christ, the sanctifying work of His Spirit in me, transforming me from who I once was when I formerly lived in darkness to who I now am by His grace as one redeemed, forgiven, and transferred into the light of Christ's kingdom. Not perfect, but this is very true of who's standing before you today. You know, I'm very humble, and you know I'm very real. And at the same time, like, I will testify, I will bear witness to the fact that all of this is true. All of this is true. Amen. Ephesians 5, 8 to 10. We've been hovering on this passage for the past week or so. Formerly. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This passage is filled with such rich identity truths. When I say identity truths, like dig into it. Draw it out. Like soak it in. His word says, you are light. You are light. You are now light. The light of Christ is now in you. This is your new reality. This is your new identity. If you've given your life to Him, we're now called to walk in that light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were formerly, by the way, because we don't forget where we came from. We don't dwell on it, and I'm still trying not to after it's so fresh lately, but we were formerly darkness, right? But now, by God's grace, we are light in the Lord. So He calls us to walk. Walk is an action verb, right? We draw out those things. Our part, God's part. Walk, well, speaks to my part. Walk is an action verb, and it implies living in the new creation, learning to live in step with the Holy Spirit. He is the one who produces the fruit of Christ-likeness in us. And it's a process, as we all know. And this is what's meant by the word sanctification, which I haven't really talked about a lot. But that's what's behind that. It's a process. Sanctification means being set apart for a specific purpose. The word sanctify, also translated from the Greek word hagiazo. You got to go there sometimes. I don't always do it, let me tell you, but I'm honestly trying because it does expand. So again, in my humble transparency, I'm not like, oh yeah, I practiced this 20 times before I said it. But if you're curious, it's spelled H-A-G-I-A-Z-O. So that's the Greek word for sanctify. So check it out. It simply means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate. So listen to this. In John 17, you know, God brought this passage to mind on this thought. Beautiful prayer of Jesus in John 17. Jesus said this, sanctify them in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So what's the truth? The word. It's like He's basically saying, Father, set them apart. Purify them by the truth. There's too many lies out there. They're going to get hit hard with questioning me, with questioning their choosing and their calling that I have on them. They're going to question it. Keep them from the evil one so they don't fall back and try to go back to the life that I saved and rescued them from. We need to be sanctified in the truth. We need to be sanctified in the truth. So Jesus is praying this for us. Personalize that. Think about that. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Right? Like, unbelievable. sanctify us in the truth. And it's interesting, it's so very noteworthy how he clearly links this sanctifying process with spending time in the truth of God's Word. The two are interconnected. You understand? Like, the two are interconnected. So without God's Word, it's not even reasonable to even think that we can really experience real life and real lasting life change, because we continually need His Word, His truth, to fill our hearts again. When we do stumble and when we do struggle and we do question, you know, how great is His grace and how can He love me and am I really changed, you know? We need His Word. So Jesus is clearly saying, that's why he prayed this, that there's a connection between the truth of God's Word and being changed, the process of being sanctified. And this is another part of my story. Over 25 years ago, it's crazy because all this is so fresh. Before I surrendered my life to Christ for His salvation, I was actually sent to, a secular recovery, rehab, right? And they meant well. They meant well. And my mom really tried. She meant well. But God's Word was absent there. God's Word was absent there. And some of you know the rest of more of that. It had no power. It had no power to bring about the real and lasting change that I so desperately needed. It was just a thing with a hopeful wish that this, you know, program could actually produce real change. It never did. It never did. So my point is that even in some of what I've experienced, it's God's Word that's truly what liberates, truly what's liberating to us, you know? So while I had so many seeds of faith planted in me by a Christian mom and grandparents, and I praise the Lord for them, it was only when I was really at a point of true brokenness, ready to surrender my life, that God connected the preaching and teaching of His Word in the context of a service one day, when His truth finally broke through into my darkness, and delivered me out into His glorious light. And that was the beginning. And you guys understand, many of you understand what I'm talking about. When there's a moment in time where you can look back and say, yeah, that was the game changer. No going back, you know, like, Jesus, help me, because I still got some things, but what you did right there was just so profound that it is just beyond words. And how can I not at least try to stay humble before you and say, Lord, help me live for you, only for you. John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus says this, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. He is the truth. He is the word. And we need to personally know him. We need to personally know and apply and keep his word. Then real freedom will come. Then real freedom will come. Be encouraged. If you're not there yet, be encouraged. It will come because he's faithful. And everything he said is true, reliable, and trustworthy. You could count on it. Amen. This is his promise. And as a young believer, when I was still battling some mindsets and hurts and, you know, some unforgiveness stuff and some other struggles, God ignited a new hunger and a thirst for his word and showed me how vital it is to know the truth of the new reality, the new identity that I have in Christ, as a way to overcome Satan's lies and keep me from falling back to an old, destructive way of life. So that's in essence just a quick snippet of some of my experience in salvation in the Lord. And as I shared, in this whole newness of it all, like, there was a time when, you know, God was really setting me apart. That's kind of where we're going with this. This whole idea of being set apart, sanctified, set apart. God was replacing certain things that were filling my heart and mind for years when I didn't know him. Like music was a big one, right? Music. And then God replaced it with certain Christian music, you know, that was a little more uplifting and kind of a little more in alignment with what I was reading in here. And it was a big help to me. It was new, it was different, but I said, all right, you know, like, I know those other things are kind of bringing me back to those dark places, so I like music a lot. I don't want to give it up fully, so what do I do? So he introduced me to Audio Adrenaline and DC Talk and the Newsboys. And my favorite band, by the way, if you ever do a trivia, Supertones. If you look it up, you'll see what I mean. High energy fellows. So the same happened not just with music, but in the things that I watched, certain things that I read. I was actually into reading comic books. That was another thing I didn't share. But anyway, so God is doing all this change in me. And don't misunderstand, I'm not communicating a legalistic posture here. You know, what I'm communicating to you is that there clearly were certain negative influences where the enemy had a grip on me through some of these avenues that were entering through my eyes and ears and into my heart that weren't in alignment with the new reality, the new truth of who I am in Christ. That's all I'm saying. So God knew, honestly, I couldn't even handle it. That's where we got to be real. We got to be humble. Like, we trick ourselves, to fool ourselves, to think that we can kind of still succumb and partake of some of those things. Some things do really have to go. And the Holy Spirit will show you that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same for all of us. Like, maybe you're totally cool with some nameless bands that I know. I just can't listen to. Even today. Like, no joke. I just can't go there. Because it's too closely associated with a time of utter hopelessness and despair for me. You know what I mean? Anyway, so you hear my heart, please. You know, I'm not preaching a legalistic thing. That's what I'm saying. But it was as a safeguard. If anything, it was a safeguard that I felt like the Holy Spirit was doing to guard me, and to teach me how to live only for Him. You know, how to live only for Him. And it was a work that God did in me over time as I spent more and more time in His Word, getting to know my Savior. Right? It's not like just a quick thing. You know, you said a prayer and I'm bawling up front and I'm repenting of my sin. And like, it's not like it stopped there. And then, yeah, Jesus, my Savior, just right there, you know, 20 years ago, whatever it was. No, like, He's my Savior every day. He's my Savior every day, you know, and He's your Savior. And that's why that song is so beautiful. You know, as far as the East is from the West, so far has He removed our sins from us. We can only live with hearts of gratitude. 2 Timothy 3:16, and many of you know this, right? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. There's something really powerful here. It shows that God's word is so, like I said before, beneficial, right? It's to our advantage. It's profitable. His word is described as being profitable for us. It has a purpose. It has a clear purpose, as His word outlines here. So through His word, by His Spirit, God brought conviction. God brought correction to certain areas of my life that were slowing my growth in Christ and working against the plans that God marked out for me. You know, He's going to get me there and He'll get you there, but sometimes it takes a while. You know, He knows sometimes we're not ready, you know. So like we talked about last week regarding what's fruitful and what's fruitless, right? God wants us to put off those things that are unfruitful as He sheds His light through His word on those things that are unfruitful, so that we can put on and walk in the truth in order to bear more fruit for Him. So I was sanctified. I was set apart. I was made holy for God's intended purpose, not mine. If it was my purpose, it was my agenda, been there, done that. It brought me nowhere, right? And you know, like those who understand, like it led you nowhere. You know, it's all just a big setup, you know, for more of just coping, you know, and just getting by. So anyway, by His grace It's the identity truths of His Word that really make all the difference. And I shared with you before Galatians 2:20. I just wanted to share it again now, because this is really where God was showing me what it means to really be crucified with Christ and to identify with Him in that way. Like another time we talked about identifying with Christ in His death, right? Like, what does that mean? Putting aside our agenda, putting aside the things of the old. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave Himself up for me. So again, we see the identity theme in this passage. We see the purpose of our new life is to bring honor and glory to Him. And it's not easy. It's not easy, right? Sometimes to embrace the changes that God, by His Spirit, is kind of pointing out to us sometimes. You know, the good changes that He wants to make that He knows like are really ruining us to a certain degree and distancing us from fellowship with Him and from others. So it's not easy because He put His light in us. He put His truth in us. So now there's this tension that we talk about, right? Between the flesh and the spirit, to use the biblical language. So Galatians 5:17 says this: For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please, meaning in the natural person, in the old man. You know, the things that the flesh just wants to cry out to do. Well, now it's not so easy to just easily do those things. Not so easily to easily do those things. Sorry. But can you relate with that? Because I know we've talked about that maybe a week or two before, but this was a real thing. Even now this is all very real and applicable for me now as a believer, especially as a young believer, when God was now starting to weed away things that were very, very uncomfortable. And He started to take my heart into places that I very easily was fine with just blocking out and never going back to. Because I knew what would happen. Well, I didn't know. But what would happen was if when you go back there, it was going to hurt. It was going to hurt and it was going to be hard. So anyway, whether it's temptation or sin or whatever it is, like the scripture is describing this tension now between the flesh and the spirit. So to walk as children of light, which is our high call, means learning to walk in the Spirit, which is a whole set of other passages from His Word that teach us how to walk in the Spirit, to guard against the darkness that subtly tries to sneak back in. It's not always so obvious, right? Sometimes it's that little chipping away over the years, you know, where we start giving in to something thinking we got it and it's okay, but then eventually it's going to choke you out. Eventually it's going to choke you out. That's why it's subtle. It happens slowly. Amen. So we need to be on guard against that. So as you can imagine, okay, so lighten the mood a little bit. All right, here's a little example. As you can imagine, living in an older home, right, which we live in an old home. Where we lived before was an older home. This one's a bit older, and that's okay. It's a beautiful home, and praise the Lord, we are very blessed. But this older home, and it seems the older the home, the greater the susceptibility to mice. And our simple observation is that when we first came, like, we see evidence of that. And people who were helping in there, like, you see evidence of, like, no big deal. Wasn't really a huge deal for me. It just comes with the territory. I mean, because I really like the molding, the design. There's certain things you gain with an older home, but also sometimes there's some vulnerabilities, some cracks, some holes in the walls, and some places that there's just no finding them, you know. So you just learn to live with the family of mice that took up residence, you know. So I did name them all, by the way. No, just kidding. So somewhere I'm trying to go somewhere. Wow, this is weird. But there's droppings, right, in places you would normally maybe expect to see them, like places that haven't been dusted in a while, like in the basement, a mouse has been there. but then there's droppings in some places you wouldn't expect to find them, like inside the light fixture of the upstairs bathroom. Inside the fixture. I mean, like, it's weird. Like, how does a, you know what I mean? Like, did you drink helium and just float yourself up there? Like, hey, they have their struggles too, by the way, and helium might be one of them. So, as a way to safeguard and kind of keep space from our little friends in the house, we were establishing and realizing the need to put a rule in place. No eating in the living room. Kids, right? You're all not here. No eating in the living room. We knew this was very important. We didn't want to draw out, you know, like the, we're thinking mice. We're thinking that's all we really have to worry about, right? So here's what's really interesting. And when you have kids and you kind of understand, Caleb loves testing his limitations, right? Just this kid. And he loves testing our patience. So here's the line that we drew. There's the living room. Here's the kitchen, right? We made it very clear. And we explained, by the way, good parenting tip, which we continually realize and learn and have learned. We're not just telling them, no. We're trying to explain it. So, like, we explain to these young minds, you can't eat in there because it's going to draw out the mice. So Caleb, loving to test our patience and his limitations, here's the line, and here's, like, this cool saddle, which has been nicely stained. Thank you. Like, you know, you guys did an awesome job in there. A nice dark stain. So he comes over, right? Yeah. He comes over, and what does he do? You know, Beth could be in there or me on any given day, and he's just like, is this okay? And he's holding his Cheerios, you know, and his Cheez-Its, and he's like, is this okay? And we're like, gosh, man, like, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Like, everything in him wanted to cross over, like, to justify doing it. Like, he just wanted to. And, oh, man, the sin nature, right? This beautiful, awesome, little, innocent kid, and yet this tendency towards rebellion, right? Right deep within inside him. And so I don't know if anyone will ever win that debate of, you know, at least however it all works out, but there certainly is this leaning towards, once something is mentioned not to do it, there's just this, like, instant catapult reaction, like, oh, now I want to do it. I'm gravitated to do it, right? Like, well, the Bible has a word for that. It's called sin, and that's just part of living in a fallen state. But yet, you know, he didn't leave us there, praise God. And I'm still going somewhere. So after some time passed, right? So we had this rule in place. So after some time passed, and we noticed there was no new evidence. There was no new evidence of mouse droppings in the living room or whatever. We didn't see anything. Well, guess what happened? Guess what happened? Well, I'm going to tell you, and I'm glad you asked. We slowly started to make allowances for the kids to bring different snacks in there and compromise, saying, well, if you just take it with a plate, because, you know, they look up so, you know, those eyes, and then we got Caleb, like, is this okay? Oh, he's so cute, but so we compromised, and we made a choice to allow them to eat snacks, just snacks, on a plate or with a paper towel or tissue, if, you know, we were running dry on paper towels. So we thought it was safe. We thought it was safe until yesterday morning. Beth and I were having our coffee on Saturday morning, you know, which we like to do, you know, try and connect a little bit. And Eliana brought something to our attention. There were dozens, like dozens of little ants, not mice, ants, all over the floor in the living room. Right where they love the snack. Duh. Like, makes sense, you know. They're just hanging out, like, wow, manna from heaven, you know. C- crawling around all on the living floor. They're looking for crumbs that were left behind from their snacking. And they were crumbs, really, that we allowed because we compromised. We said, okay, like, maybe, you know, it's not so bad. Just be responsible because we know you're all responsible to use a plate and not make one crumb on the floor. So it was really when something... actually, by the way, honey, I have a confession. You were thinking it was yesterday morning. Friday night, Julia let me know. So I didn't do anything about it because I didn't want to deal with it. I'm sorry. We could talk about tonight at the management group, you know. But I know you're thinking it was this morning. But technically, Julia, she should get some credit. Because she brought it to my attention, but I abdicated my responsibility to protect the house. anyway, interestingly enough, it was because of really the low lighting coming in from the window in the morning, like yesterday morning, where we actually were able to see like the little movement of the small, tiny ants. Right. So listen to that detail. The bright light of the morning shining in, right? Okay. Because the floors really are beautiful. They have a nice dark stain to them. And the ants have a nice dark God-given color to them. So it's very easy for them to kind of have their highways and avenues in between those floor grooves or whatever you call it. So we didn't even recognize that this was going on. We're concluding it was going on for a while, actually. It could have been at least for a whole week or more. But it was only yesterday when we saw the light. Like, seriously, just shining in. You could easily see it. And then we're just like, and then we're looking closely, and it's like, whoa, it's there. It's totally there. So we didn't notice until they were nearly taking over. I'm not going to make it like this whole thing, but, you know, just this pretty one area where there's at least two or three chairs where a lot of the snacking was happening. That's where we saw them, like, everywhere. So it was the bright light of the morning coming in through the window, taking a closer look, that revealed the extent to which the ants were gaining ground in our home. And obviously we thought, you know, it was harmless initially, but then we realized, you know, compromising on what we did, it really wasn't, because now it had this outcome that wasn't good. So we allowed a little bit of food in the living room, and it produced a negative consequence in the long run, because that consequence now means that we have an ant problem that we have to deal with, you know? And I know we have ants. Like, it's not like the world is ending. I'm just kind of going somewhere, you know? So if there were no crumbs, by the way, there would be no ants. That's just a simple observation. It's not rocket science, right? We could just think plainly and simply about this. If there was no crumbs, there would be no ants. They wouldn't be drawn to the crumbs. They wouldn't be drawn to the crumbs. They would just hang out in their dark realm and places and enjoy living wherever they're living and, you know, live where they are. So all this to say, in a form of a parable, perhaps, so often the desires of our flesh, right? The old nature, right? These biblical words, right? It's really hard. You know, the flesh, the body, sin. We allow a little bit in, a little bit sometimes. And the darkness is drawn to it. The darkness is drawn to it. And I think that's the discovery. You know that it's not always okay. And that's why God speaks his hard words sometimes, you know, because he loves us, right? His word says he disciplines those he loves. Those he loves. So sometimes he speaks a hard word, but for our benefit. But for our benefit, because he's after our freedom. He's after our full affection and love, unhindered by the darkness. So we tell ourselves sometimes, it's harmless. It won't hurt anybody. I can handle it. When in reality, that little bit, that tiny crumb, is something that's all that's needed for the ants to come marching, for the enemy to gain ground in our lives once again. Scripture talks about a stronghold sometimes in a couple places, right? That Jesus wants us to break us out of. You know, sometimes there's a grip. We're saved, we're in Christ, we're growing him, praise God. But then sometimes there's just certain areas of our heart, of our lives that we haven't fully yielded over, and if we're honest, we still kind of enjoy it and like it. You know what I mean? So it's quite possible that that thing, whatever it might be, you know, I know the things, you know, and I know you know your things, that God is continually trying to sanctify those areas, you know, as part of that process. You understand that He's at work in us. So listen to this verse, Ephesians 5:3. Another hard word from God, right, in His Word. But He loves us. Always know. Always know He loves us. But among you there must not be any hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's interesting, it says a hint. So let's at least just understand God's warning here. Let's at least just start there and understand God's warning here, that we can deceive ourselves if we think that even a hint or a certain small sin won't negatively affect us or even certain relationships in our lives. Like, let's at least just agree with God that even a little bit has a way to kind of vacuum in at times, and particularly in weaker, more emotionally vulnerable moments, to even bring back a greater measure of darkness. You know, so God wants to protect us from that. So He says, be on guard against the hint. You know, and sometimes we even complicate this further by saying, we compare ourselves, right? We have this tendency to compare ourselves to other people. Like, well, what I'm doing or this thing is not so bad as what they're doing. And besides, they didn't even come to church and I'm here. So, you know, I'm all right. Church always makes a difference, right? Physically being here. Well, it does make a difference, by the way, so let's be clear. But don't ever fool yourself to think that just coming here is the be-all, end-all of the extent of your spiritual growth in the Lord Jesus. You know, like, this is our assembly. This is our gathering where we're exhorted, encouraged, admonished, and where we share fellowship, where we share harmony, where we share vision, heart cries, prayers, on and on and on. Like, this is a beautiful place to be on a Sunday, you know? And it's our fill. And a lot of times, you know, in your context, working tough hours, like, I get it, and the Lord understands, you know, like, this might be one of your strong fills, you know, for the week, you know. Anyway, you understand. So, but God is saying to those that He loves and that He gave Himself for us, you know, He's saying, we are His. We are His. We've been bought with a price, number one. He wants us to really see the reality of being crucified with Christ, and that we no longer live, but Christ now lives in us. That our life now is to live honoring to Him, to at least make that our aim and our ambition, and to start there. And He raises the bar. He raises the bar because we bear His name, like Christian, right? Christ. Christ is in the name. Like, we bear His name as a witness to the world, right? So consider that He's saying, stop justifying. Stop justifying the crumb. Stop justifying it. The darkness is only trying to get in again to entice your heart, to entice your heart away from Me, to keep you from living free in the light. Let there be no hint of the things that displease Him. That's the high standard of His Word. Again, you hear me. I know we all have our stuff, right? But we always need to know where He's trying to lead us, because He has a purpose in it, and it's because He loves us. So these are hard to accept. But number one, He's worthy. He's worthy of our loyalty, right? In view of His mercy. And He knows the reality of how even our small sins can negatively affect and hinder us from growing, from maturing, and producing good fruit, which, by the way, this is exactly what He's after, good fruit. John 15:7, listen to our Lord's word here. By this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be My disciples. He's after fruit. He's after a demonstration of the fact that everything that He said is true, of His salvation. And that we bear it out. We prove. Like, we manifest it out. Like, when the fruit becomes visible, right? Think fruit of the Spirit. It's just real simple. You know, I'm becoming more loving, more kind, more patient, a little more self-control, right? Things we've said. Like, you start to see a little bit of that fruit in us, and people start to take notice, right? And we start to be a little lighter and a little freer from the things that were holding us back. So God is after fruit. And it's a process. And it's His Word plays an important role, which is really some of the dominant emphasis, I guess, from last message and this message, that as Jesus prayed, His truth sanctifies us. So we need to be in His truth. His inspired Word, the Scripture, corrects us and trains us and equips us. Why? For every good work, it says. And the good work involves bearing fruit, right? And praise the Lord that so many of you are. And as a church as a whole, we are. Praise God for the fruit that's here. You know what I mean? This is not like, bam, bam, bam. Like, my heart delights and rejoices and is inspired by the fruit that I see in so many of you. And it helps me, and I know Beth, and it spurs us on. Like the Scripture said, spur one another on towards loving good deeds, right? That's the work of God in this place. So be very encouraged. Be very encouraged. We balance out everything. God wants to balance out everything, you know? But for some of us, this could be a very hard word right now, you know? And God wants you to receive it. God wants you to take it before Him. We all need to come to that place sometimes. His Word is a lamp. His Word is a light. And His Word is a sword of the Spirit. Knowing the truth helps us recognize the lies that come against us and the darkness that tries to creep back in. This is why we need to be sanctified in the truth. Just like the ants and the mice that want to make their home in our home, a real battle is taking place. A real battle is taking place. And if there's still a lingering smile on my face from something that I just said, the seriousness behind it right now is that you know there's a real battle taking place. And I know there's a real battle taking place. God's Word tells us, reminds us that there's a real battle taking place. Right? We don't need to be surprised. We don't need to be taken back. Like, God calls us to do war, you know, in a spiritual sense, as bearers of His light, right? We're the people of God, called to bear His light, children of light, with a clear purpose. So He wants us to recognize that we have a real adversary, that we need to be on guard against His schemes, that we need to stay vigilant and diligent to soak in and feed on His Word and to grow in His Word, which, you know, another time I'm sure we'll go into it more, but you know, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. This is our offensive weapon. You know, when God's Word talks about the armor of God, interestingly enough, the offensive weapon to do battle is the Word of God. It's described as the sword of the Spirit. So we need to know this Word if we think we're going to even engage in the fight. You know, like, if we're taking away this Word, there's like no point. We get pounded, right? So we have a real adversary, and we need to be on guard. And we need to put safeguards in place to keep the darkness at bay so that we could live in the realities of our true identity, the lasting freedom that Christ purchased for us, right? Out of His great love, out of His great mercy, as far as the east is from the west. Right? You know what I mean? I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of this. So for so many reasons, God wants us to take seriously His command to walk as sons, as daughters of light. That's your true calling in the Lord Jesus. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Okay? Please stay with me for prayer. Father, we are grateful. We just praise You for Your Word. We thank You for speaking even hard truths to us, Lord God. And sometimes maybe we're in a season where we just need an extra dose of the truth, Lord, the gospel, the truth that we need to intake, Lord, to bring healing to our brokenness, to our hurts, to our struggles. So Lord, give us each a willing heart, a teachable spirit, to be humble before You, Lord, to hear what Your Spirit is saying, Lord God, because we know that You want more. You want more for each and every one of us, God. You want us to walk in the freedom that you purchased for us. So Lord, I just pray a blessing on your church. I pray a blessing on everyone here, that as we go from here, Lord God, that we would feel equipped and empowered with your Spirit, Lord, that you would increase our hunger, increase our thirst. As a deer pants for the water, let our soul pant and thirst for you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.